Tuesday, the 13th of January, lucky number 13. Hello and welcome, I'm Alec Hogg. You've seen the headlines on biznews.com, watched and listened to the interviews on BizNews TV and BizNews Radio. So now let's talk about what the latest developments mean for your money. This is The Editor's Desk, exclusive analysis for BizNews Premium members. As mentioned earlier, today is Tuesday, the 13th of January, 2026. I'm glad to have you with me. Well, the rational mind is baffled, completely baffled right now. We've got a little country sitting at the tail end of Africa, which is cocking a snoot at the schoolyard bully, if you like, who could pretty much squash us under their heel quite easily. And we are worse than that, taking the side of one of the other little kids in the playground who has been poking the bear for years and now is starting to feel the full wrath of the United States. That's kind of a little bit of an analogy of what's happening at the moment. In Iran, things have really gotten out of hand. The regime of Iran, if you recall, is very unpopular. Women are half people in Iran. It wasn't that long ago, a couple of years ago, that there were riots because a woman who refused to wear a head covering, which is against the religious rules of the Ayatollah, who runs the place, has run the place, and will run the place until he dies, was taken into custody where she died. She died in custody. And the reason she was taken into custody was she wouldn't wear a head covering. So it gives you an understanding of how this highly civilized, highly cultured society has been brought back or taken back a few hundred years to a idealized state, according to those who are deeply orthodox religious, the Islamic State, they even call themselves. The problem that occurs here is that they also have a belief that they are right and that the world hasn't really moved on and that those people who think it has are all wrong. And as a consequence of that, they believe that the means are justified by the end. And the means right now is brutal repression of what started as peaceful protests. Now, the Tehran regime is assuming that the protests are being agitated by the Western powers who are their avowed enemies, perhaps even Israel, who's another even more avowed enemy. And what they've done is they've shut down the internet. Now, that brings a South African company into sharp relief here. MTN is the main cell phone provider, the main communications provider in Iran. I don't think they can do much about what's happening right now, but that's not going to count for much should the protest prove successful. And if they are to be successful, well, all of those who sided with the regime are almost certainly going to be tossed out. So if I were an MTN shareholder right now, I'd be taking a highly conservative approach towards the valuation of the stock. The second thing is, according to the Financial Times of London, and Andrew England is a guy I've met, he was in South Africa for a period of time as the correspondent here, straight shooter, good reporter. He's the editor for the Middle East, and he's been keeping a close watch, as you might expect, on this. Really high class journalist who looks for both sides of the story. Well, if you listen again to the BizNews Daybreak, we carried an interview that Andrew England had with the host of the FT News briefing, Victoria Craig. Well, she hosted it on this particular day. And from what he's telling us, there is a lot of bad stuff happening there. With a blackout in communication, there is no way that we know the truth. But Andrew says from his sources, and this is something that I would take quite seriously, the death toll is now either at or beyond 1,000 people. Now, if you recall, Donald Trump said that if the mullahs start shooting and killing protesters, he will step in to support the protesters. So you've got a powder keg that's happening here. Excellent story from the Financial Times about that. And we've got quite a lot of coverage of what's going on at the moment on BizNews today. And really, the local angle doesn't end with MTN. It goes still further because last night, Donald Trump took to Truth Social, his social network, where he announced that anyone doing business with Iran, any country doing business with Iran, will immediately pay an extra 25% tariff. Now, that completely wipes out the competitiveness of 157 billion rands worth of trade that South Africa does with the United States. We do less than a billion rand with Iran. Perhaps, that's disclosed anyway. Perhaps that is inflated a little through imports of oil. I'm not sure, because we don't have too much refining capacity here anymore. But anyway, there are trade experts who'd be able to confirm those figures. But the reality is the United States is a very important trading partner, and we have a significant trade surplus with the US, a plus 40 billion rand a year that comes into South Africa from the US, whereas that's very hard to replace. That 40 billion rand with a multiplier effect has an impact on tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of jobs. So you can see the game we're playing here. The problem, as my interview with Josh Meservey has highlighted, and we'll have that on BizNews a little bit later today. Josh is with one of the most prestigious Washington think tanks, the Hudson Institute. He's the guy there who looks after their involvement in Africa. And he was saying that he does not believe that the ANC can change its approach, that the ideology is so dominant and so embedded in the way the organization functions, that for the ANC to not see the cost, the real cost, of some quite crazy, in my opinion, because you should be putting South Africa first, not some ideology that goes back to the pre-apartheid era, or the friends that you made or had back then, who've really become pretty bad in what they do. The brutal repression that happened in Venezuela should have been enough for any rational mind to say, let's leave these guys alone. And yet South Africa is waving the flag for Nicolas Maduro, who, by all accounts, and including people in this country who know the crime scene, by all accounts, this guy is a narco. He was running a narco state. And he is like the way that Meservey references him, he is a mafioso boss. He's a cartel boss. And here we in South Africa are staking our reputation, or what's left of it, by saying to the United Nations, no, we need this man to be taken back to his people. It's also very well known that he stole the last election. He lost it. If you recall, there was a lot of reporting and coverage at the time, because in the initial stages, it was all done electronically, and you could see that the opposition was creaming it. They were killing the regime. And then suddenly, that all stopped. And, the announcement came later that said that the Maduro regime had won the election. How surprised are we, on top of all of that, to learn that 8 million Venezuelans in a country of under 50 million people have actually left the country, a little bit like the Zimbabweans. If you want to make anything of your life, you've got to leave your homeland. And you're leaving your homeland because you've got a bunch of criminals who are running the place. I just think that with the opening up of information, with the advent of artificial intelligence, where anybody, anywhere in the world with access to the internet can ask a question and get a sane answer, get the correct answer. I just think with that, that the people who have been plundering the resources of the vast population are going to get their comeuppance. And they're going to get it because the truth is the most powerful thing known to mankind, and the truth always wins. So where this puts South Africa in the short term is in a not a very happy place. A good piece we've also got on the site from the Daily Friend, Ivo Vector, makes the case for leaving BRICS. It's a very strong case. It's well worth reading that. And he has argued it from the perspective of just rationality, no emotion. But will that resonate in Pretoria? No chance. No chance. Or certainly that's what Josh Maservi says, and that's pretty much what the track record of the ANC says to us. I've said it numerous times before, and will again reference the book, Richard Tedlow's book about the great entrepreneurs of the United States, where he makes the point that often these entrepreneurs got to a stage in their life when they became deranged. And derangement doesn't mean that they've gone mad, although you could say that that is the case. Derangement is when they don't just have people whispering sweet nothings in their ear and telling them what they want to hear and giving them good news filters, so they don't really have a clue what's going on in the outside world. But derangement is when they have people who make sure that if they want two sugars in their tea, they get two sugars in their tea when it's brought to them. If they want, as happened with Paul Mashatile at the BizNews conference last year, warm milk, should they want coffee or tea in the holding room, then the others who are around better be sure to put a microwave into that holding room, so that should that deranged person say, I feel like a cup of coffee, they are able to give that person exactly what they want, kowtowing to their every need. It's not surprised, if you think of the human condition, that people treated like that don't really have a grip on reality. And when they are told that everything that they are reading in the credible media, everything that they're hearing from an independent source like BizNews is somehow manipulated, somehow the propaganda of agents who would do harm to the deranged leader, then they believe it. They swallow it. They take it in. Some other derangement that's going on right now is in California, and we've got that story on the site. California is proposing a 5% wealth tax on billionaires. Now, if you just stop and think about this for a moment, how thick this is, how completely ignorant this is. So what you're doing is you're saying, Sergey Brin and Larry Page, the founders of Google, who have created hundreds of thousands of jobs in California, who have paid hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars in taxes, both through the employees who pay money into California and sales taxes, etc., and through the income tax that has been paid by Google, a very highly profitable organization, and everything else that they brought there. Sergey Brin and Larry Page, your shares in Google are worth whatever, 100 billion, just for argument's sake. We want $5 billion from you. So essentially you're saying to them, sell your shares or sell some of your shares so that you can pay us. There's no other side of the coin. There's no recognition whatsoever for the wealth that has been created by these entrepreneurs. And actually, there's no appreciation for the fact that it's entrepreneurs who make the economy grow, not bureaucrats, not professional managers who are just going through the process of defending what an entrepreneur has built. Sergi and Larry have already announced they are leaving California. Elon Musk left California 5 years ago to go to Texas. He saw the writing on the wall. Peter Thiel's on his way out as well. These billionaires are not going to pay that 5% tax. Not because they can't afford it, but because they don't believe it's fair and they don't believe it's right. California has got a huge budget deficit problem. It needs money. And so this is the popular way of addressing it. The only problem is it ain't going to work. And if you look in a South African context, we've got some in Pretoria who are harboring similar thoughts, but they haven't stopped to think that at the moment, less than 1% of South Africans, there's a group of 120,000 people, and this, go onto the BizNews site, you'll see the table from Treasury, 120,000 people who pay 42% of all income tax, personal income tax in South Africa, 42% of all personal income tax. If you add that, and these are people who earn 125,000 rand a month or more. Skilled people, in other words. And there'd be a fair dollop of entrepreneurs amongst them. Then you go down to the next level, which is not as skilled people, but maybe the managerial class, anybody who earns 62,500 rand a month and more. Put them together with the first grouping, and you're now talking about 350,000 people in total, according to the Treasury figures, who between them pay 55% of personal income tax. Those people you want to keep, you want to defend, you want to hold on to them. I recall talking with an African leader immediately after 1994. And in conversation, he said, man, I wish I had the tax base that South Africa has got. If I was them, I would make absolutely sure that I protect that tax base at all costs. Mozambique is a good example. 90% of the taxes that Mozambique gets in, 90%, get to pay the public servants and its interest debt. 90% goes to pay the public servants and the interest debt. And why? Because they don't have the tax base that South Africa has. They don't have all those individuals who willingly have PAYE taken off. We got a good SARS and et cetera. But these are really, really important issues, and issues that make or break a country. And our country at the moment, well, thank goodness we've got California out there in the United States, which is so anti what's happening in capitalist societies or free market societies, that they've now dreamed up and implemented this 5% wealth tax. Consequence of which is going to be a little bit like what's happened in France. The French have a wealth tax, but they've lost more, actually double. They've lost double in foregone tax from the wealthy, that 43,000 millionaires that they chased out of the country, in essence, by saying, well, if you want to stay here, you've got to pay this wealth tax. And they said, well, we're not going to stay here. And you don't have to nowadays, because you don't have to go into a particular physical environment every day to do your job. You can do it remotely. The world has changed. Politicians and economic policy needs to change as well. Ideology needs to change as well. And that's a drum that we will keep beating at BizNews, because we are here for the prosperity of our nation, not for the enrichment of an elite few. Well, I'm going to leave it there for today. Keep an eye on your premium newsletter for links to our freshest published content. Thanks for trusting us with your time. I'm Alec Hogg. Until tomorrow, cheerio.